Hello, welcome back to the Heart Factor 91.3 Nigeria Info and here in Port Harcourt. I'm Daya and we have in Port Harcourt's biggest conversation. It's 8 minutes gone past 4 p.m. And why not? Why not have a conversation on your responsibilities, your obligations as regards next year's general elections? It arguably is the biggest event the entire country is anticipating at this time. And also, why not? It is the biggest event because it literally affects everything else, or the results of this process affect everything that concerns your life. Now, there is a body saddled with the responsibility of ensuring that this process, the elections that is, are properly organized. And in most countries of the world have their versions. In Nigeria, it's the Independent National Electoral Commission, and that's INEC. And INEC recently released some updates as to the PVC registration process and other processes that it is handling and managing at this time. Well, this was in our bulletin earlier on. INEC says members of the public who were unable to register for their PVCs and resolve PVC-related issues can still do so at INEC centres nationwide. This comes as the electoral umpire closed its online voters pre-registration yesterday. INEC's Director of Voter Education and Publicity, Ayodele Aluko, spoke to Nigeria Info FM in Lagos. And here's what he had to say.
We need to remind Nigerians that this particular registration started June 20th last year. June last year to June this year, one whole year. Those who have not registered before, those who need to transfer their registration, those who want a replacement of their sport cards, and those who want to correct their names, maybe their data not completely captured or that whole thing, should take advantage of the 1 month remaining from June 1 to June 30th and do not start thinking that there will be an extension. Nobody should be waiting for an extension that will not come.
All right, there you have it. And so there's several talking points to this matter. You probably have questions, I suppose, and we may get to those as much as we can, or as many as can be taken via the usual platforms in the moment. We're live on Twitter and Facebook at Nigeria Info PH, WhatsApp on 0809-030-6416. The phone lines will be open shortly. Is the PVC registration process going on smoothly for you, at least, and others that you might know? Joining me via phone from Abuja to discuss this and other related matters is INEC Resident Electoral Commissioner here in River State, Obore Fanga. Commissioner, good evening to you and welcome to Hard Facts.
Good evening, Dayo.
Great. So let's start with the online registration or pre-registration process. Can you break that down, please? What exactly has gone on here? What precisely has INEC done with its online registration process?
Okay, thank you, Dayo. Okay, so let's start by talking about the fact that it is INEC that registers people to vote in an election in Nigeria. Even the local government elections, they take their voters register from INEC to conduct the election. So INEC has the sole responsibility of registering voters in Nigeria and maintaining the voters register. And before now, for one to register, one had to physically come to an INEC registration center to register. But this time around, starting from June of last year, INEC decided that to make it easier, people who have access to the internet can also do the pre-registration. We could have said you can conclude the registration online, but that is not possible because we have to take your fingerprint. So because of that, we say, okay, people who have access to the internet, they can do the pre-registration, put in all the information, take the photographs, passport photographs, and pick a date and time that they will come physically to an INEC registration center and have their fingerprints captured. And that is when the registration completes for them. But that also does not stop people who can just walk to an INEC registration center and start the process from the beginning to end, and they are captured. So there are two ways by which people can register now in to be voters in Nigeria. So that's what we did. And that's the online voter registration, pre-registration, I must add, has been very popular with a lot of people. So you have a lot of people who have done the online pre-registration and need to come physically for the capture to be concluded.
No, but just to be clear, even though the online pre-registration process has ended, or now, has it been ended or is it simply suspended for a while?
Well, you know that we do the voters registration periodically. So the current voter registration started in June of last year and will end at the end of June of this year before the election. And what we are saying is that the online pre-registration aspect of it has to end before they compare the rest of the registration. Because when you do online, you'll have to pick a date in the future to go and complete it. So we need to give enough time for all the people who have done the online pre-registration to have enough time to come and complete the process. So we said we will stop it 1 month to the end of the registration. So the online portal for the purpose of pre-registration would no longer be acceptable or possible on the portal, but every other form of activities on the continuous voter registration on the online portal will still be running.
So I guess that means that once after the end of June this year, or maybe possibly after the elections next year, when continuous voters registration resumes, possibly the online pre-registration will be open once again.
Definitely. It has come to stay because it has been effective.
All right, so let's talk about what services INEC still offers, or what voters or potential voters, what services they can still access on your online portal.
Okay, so for the online portal, people can still go there and request their card that they've not collected before now. Maybe they've lost their card is damaged, they can request a new card to be produced for them. They can also go to the online portal and request that they want to transfer from where they were registered to vote to another location to vote. They can do that. They can also go to the online portal to make corrections for their information. There could have been a mistake in their names, their spelling, or people have changed their names and they want the new name to be reflected in their voter registration. They can also do that. They can also change other things, maybe their address. Or there are also other mistakes we've seen where somebody is a man that was identified as a woman and vice versa. So they can go and make those corrections. And there are also people can also correct even their dates of birth.
All right. I think that's pretty clear right now. So besides, are you saying that even though the pre-registration has ended online right now, it can still take place at the various INEC offices across the nation?
Definitely. In all the INEC state offices, in all the INEC local government offices, and where applicable, where the people are going from ward to ward, all those activities, any of the activities under continuous voter registration can take place. It could be fresh registration, it could be requests for corrections, it could be requests for transfers, it could be requests for their cards that are damaged to be replaced, or the cards that they never collected, for them to collect it. So all those things are happening right now.
We've got just about a month before the CVR ends, or at least is suspended till after the elections, I suppose. Now, for those who registered now afresh, or who have to order a replacement or other such things, can they or will they get their cards before the elections?
Oh, definitely, because the people who registered afresh from June last year to December last year, their cards have been ready for the past more than 1 month, and they've been going to pick up those cards at the collection points, which is at the local government office of INEC. For all the other registrations, other people who have registered after then, and people who have requested transfer, new cards, all those ones will be processed, and the cards will be available for people to pick up. Good enough, we are stopping the continuous voter registration at the end of June, and the election is in February. So we have a long enough time to produce all the cards and make them available for pickup in good enough time before the election. We are taking a note, lesson from the previous time when cards were still being produced and brought for pickup close to the election, and some people ended up not picking their cards and couldn't vote in the last election. We want to avoid that situation this time.
We have got reports and complaints, and I imagine you may have heard some of these reports and complaints as well, that people who've registered for long periods of time are still having trouble picking up their cards. What might be responsible for this?
Well, yes, that happened. You know that the current voter register was created in 2010, 2011. So anybody who registered from that time, the name is still on the register. So we still have a few cards from the 2011 and even subsequent elections registrations that those cards have not been picked up. There are various reasons for them. One could be that those persons are dead, so there's no way they can pick up the cards. So they didn't pick up the cards before they died. Also is that some people may have moved from where they were when they registered, and so when the cards arrive, they're no longer available to pick them. They may have gone moved to another part of the country or even outside the country. So that happened. And so eventually there would still be cards that would never be collected because the people are dead or they've moved out. And then some of those people may have transferred and they haven't picked the old cards and they've transferred to a new place. And so they will get a new card. And by the time we synchronize, we will also be able to, I guess, at some point we will be able to identify some of those cards that have not been picked up, that the owners of those cards have actually been transferred to a different location. So those cards would have to be withdrawn and destroyed if we confirm that they have moved. Because the good thing is that we have, everybody has a unique voter identification number. So if you registered in one location previously and a card was produced, it will have the VIN. And if you have now been transferred to another place, the new card that will be produced would still have the same VIN as you already had. So it will be possible for us to identify that the owner of this card already has another card in another location based on the same registration, and we can withdraw this one.
As part of efforts to make the whole process a lot easier and seamless, especially for those persons who may have a difficult time, moving themselves from their residences or their communities to INEC offices that may be some considerable distance from their homes, INEC decided to go from what to what on what I may term a mobile registration drive. Since you're stopping for the moment the online pre-registration process, and you're due to stop the even the physical one by the end of next month, how much longer is this mobile registration going to last for? Is it still on or has it ended as well?
Yes, it's still on. So it depends on the local government area. You know, we're moving from ward to ward. So some local government areas may have just 10 wards, some 12 wards, some 17 wards, you know. So the electoral officers in that local government office of INEC have developed a schedule of when they will go to which ward, and they've made that known to the people. So those who haven't gone around the wards, they're still going on. There are some who have gone around the wards the first time and have gone, they are now on the second visit to those locations to mop up for those who couldn't register the previous time.
What are some of the challenges that you experienced, especially in the earlier stages of this current registration drive, and that were addressed, and you were able to fix those challenges or overcome those challenges even before now?
I think one of the biggest challenges we had was people understanding when we tell them that if they've registered before, they need not register again because the system would identify at the time we are processing to produce the card, and so they would not get the card. Quite a lot of people did not believe us, and maybe some were also trying to test the system. And so we ended up having a lot of people who had previously registered and went ahead and registered. So when we now did the screening for the period between June last year and December last year, that's 2021, and we came up with the figures, people now found out that it was real. So across the country, the national average, we had close to 50% of the registered new registrants who were doing multiple registration. I think it was about 47%. But in some states, like in Rivers State, it was embarrassingly higher than the national average. So we had 53% of the new registrants in Rivers State were people who had registered before. And so their registration was declared invalid. And when these persons came to pick up their cards, because those cards were supposed to be ready at that time, when they come and their cards are not among those ready, we check online and we'll see the information that it was multiple registration, and we tell them. And the truth is, when we tell them, they know. They already knew that they did multiple registration. So now being told that we have found them out, they just leave. What they can do is to rely on the earliest of the registrations they made and use that. If they had lost the card, then they can request for a new card. And in many instances, actually, they may no longer live there, so they in the same place they were when they originally registered. So they may need to then ask for a transfer. We can do that for them. Mm-hmm. So that's one aspect. The other aspect is also that sometimes we are overwhelmed by the number of people who come. But then again, when we acknowledge the fact that from the records, more than 50% of those who came to register ought not to have done that at all, then it would mean that if the real number of people who ought to register came up, we probably wouldn't have such a large crowd.
Commissioner?
That becomes sometimes difficult to contain with.
All right, please hold on. So we have to go for a commercial break right now. When I return, Oboy Fango of Heineken River State still joins me for the conversation. Please stay with us.
We take off with the biggest conversations, with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station.
Chat Station.
And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Welcome back to Hard Factor Nigeria Info and hearing Port Harcourt. I'm Dial. We've got 29 minutes to go before 5 o'clock, but for the moment, my conversation with INEC's resident electoral commissioner here in River State, Obori Fanga, continues over the continuous voters registration exercise. Commissioner, you're welcome once again.
Thank you.
Join the conversation. A reminder, we're live on Facebook at that's facebook.com/NigeriaInfoPH, also on Twitter at NigeriaInfoPH, WhatsApp on 0809-030-6416. The lines will be open shortly, so you can call in as well. But before then, Commissioner, some digression from the issue of the continuous voters registration exercise, but to another matter, or a couple of other matters that are critical to the electoral process in the country as well. First of all, let's talk about this one from our news earlier today. INEC on Monday ran a mock exercise with the Bimodal Voter Accreditation System, BVAS, in Ekiti, ahead of the state's governorship election. And BVAS facilitates the accreditation of voters on election day. Speaking to reporters during the exercise, INEC's chairman Mahmoud Yakubu said they are happy with the functionality of the machines. Commissioner, what exactly is this BVAS? This BVAS, what exactly is it, and what is it supposed to do as far as the elections are concerned?
Okay, so the BVAS is a bimodal voter accreditation system device. It's the same device that we use currently for the voter registration. So when it is used as for voter registration, it's called the IVET. And on election day, it would be used as BVAS. It's simply a device that you can use in getting data of the registered voters in. Now, on election day, just like we used to have the smart card reader that read the fingerprints of voters on election day to be sure that they are the owners of the registration and the voters card they present, with the BVAS, there are two levels of accreditation. You could be accredited either with your fingerprint or with your facial. So the BVAS allows the capture of your face, a photograph that matches with what we have in the system, and then, of course, the fingerprint, which does not change. That is used for that purpose. The other purpose on election day is that when the election is over and the votes are counted in the polling unit and the results entered in the result sheet in the polling unit, that BVAS machine is also used to take a snapshot of that result sheet. And that snapshot is what would eventually be uploaded onto the internet, and that is what will go as part of what is used for collation of results. We are already using that. So for the election that we've conducted in the last 2 years, since about the 2019 election, most of those elections came at the time we have introduced what is called the INEC Results Viewing Portal, IREV, wherein the results taken at the polling unit, a photoshot of it, is uploaded onto the IREV. So anybody anywhere in the world who has access to the internet and assigned into that portal can see the result of each polling unit. And so when we go for collation, it is that same result. What is used for collation is exactly what is already put on the internet for people to see. So this has helped in reducing tension on election day. People no longer need to go and put up some kind of ugly show at the collation center trying to change figures or manipulate figures, because once the election has been concluded at the polling unit and the votes counted there and the results entered into the polling unit results and it is captured, once that is accepted at the ward collation level, then the result has gone in. You cannot effect any change again at that point.
All right. Now, I imagine that while INEC is doing all that it can to ensure the process is seamless and the process is foolproof and it's of the highest integrity and immune to compromise, I'm quite certain, as I believe most persons are as well, that wonderful politicians are scheming and thinking every day and devising a means to sabotage the process and compromise the integrity of every process that's been put in place by INEC. Has INEC identified some of these efforts by our darling politicians to compromise the process? And what steps might INEC have taken to address these issues?
Well, the truth of it is that no matter what technology you use, you will still need human beings to use the system for it to work. And then the quality of human beings you have who are using the system or who are interacting with the system will also reflect on the final outcome, whether it actually comes out with integrity intact or not. So we are mindful of this, and we are also taking all the necessary steps that we can to ensure that there is limited human influence and human error in the process. And this could come, the human influence and errors could come from the people legitimately using the technology, and also people who are trying to avoid the technology. So there are various ways of handling that. We are sure of the kind of things that people could try to come up with, and we are also working out how we would address that if it happens. But the important thing is for people to know that the success of an election depends on the entirety of the people involved in the process, not just the election management body, but also the political class, the politicians, the political parties, the voters, the supporters of voters, the security agencies, the media, the civil society groups who are observing the election. Everybody in the system has to be involved in ensuring that they do the right thing and they carry themselves with a high sense of integrity for everything to work.
And how about the issue of vote buying? Is INEC concerned about that, and what's INEC doing about that? I mean, with the party primaries on at the moment, we've had reports of some delegates of political parties who arrived at the primaries venue, possibly without knowing where the next meal is coming from. And at the end of the party primaries, they're going to car dealerships to purchase nice luxurious vehicles. And it's not unlikely that people who are doling out such monies right now may be looking at doling out even more as the elections draw nearer, or even on election day. Is INEC concerned about this?
Yes, INEC is concerned about this, and everyone in the system, everyone in the society is or should be concerned about this. Because at the end of the day, the people elected are not elected to be leaders of INEC. They are elected to be leaders of everyone in the society. For those who voted and those who did not vote, for those who manipulated the system and those who did not manipulate, the person that will become elected will govern all of us. So everybody should be interested in this. But also, another way to also look at this is that the result buying only goes to show that people recognize the fact that the votes are important. The votes count. And the votes are counted. And it's on the basis of the votes that people emerge, are declared elected. So that's one way to look at it. Now, the other point is that this is a social issue, a societal problem that everyone should get involved in addressing it. So that is what it is. There's no single institution that would be responsible for telling people that, no, don't sell your goods. And you see, the analogy that I like using on this is that when you have a willing seller and a willing buyer, it becomes so difficult for you, an outsider, to try to interrupt that system. Okay? So you have people who have been elected as delegates for a political party to go and decide who among the various contenders should be the standard bearer of the party. You would expect that because the people elected delegates are members of that political party, committed to the good of that political party, and obviously at the end, committed to the good of the country or whichever legislative, whichever electoral constituency they are voting for, that they are committed to the greater interest of that society. And so in deciding who should be the standard bearer, that should be what weighs in their mind. But if people now decide that what will weigh in their mind is who is ready to provide gratification for them, the immediate gratification for them, and they now decide, there is little one can do. You can only sermonize, try to talk to their consciences to do that. But at the end of the day, if somebody comes to vote, we are talking about the primary election now. If somebody comes to vote and the only reason he's voting for one person is because the person comes from the same place with him, that is his choice. Or that the person speaks the same language with him, that is his or her choice. Or that the person has been nice to him over the years, that is the person's choice. Or that the person has given him money, that is the person's choice. Or that the person promises to run a better society when the person gets elected. That's the person's choice. So there could be 1,001 reasons why a voter, whether as a delegate or as a voter in the general election, decides to vote for one candidate or one aspirant than the other. All this comes to play. And of course, what is now happening is that politicians have found out that the easiest way to get people to support them is to provide gratification, and that's what they are providing. And they do this in so many ways. They can do it openly. They can do it in manners that you can be there and wouldn't know what had happened previously. Maybe the gratification was provided a week or 2 days before the actual voting. So it's difficult, really, to go through this. But then again, there are other agencies involved. You have the law enforcement agencies. You have the specialized agencies for finances. So you are talking about financial crimes. We are talking about the Economic and Financial Crimes Commission. They have their ways of unraveling some of these things, and we expect that they should go ahead and do that. But what INEC can do is to conduct election when it comes to the general election. Unfortunately, what is happening now is the party primary that INEC does not conduct. We only go to observe and supervise what is going on there and take notes, but we cannot get involved in the organization of the party primaries. Unfortunately, it is whoever emerges from the party primaries that would now be presented to the general public for them to choose from.
All right, join the conversation right now. If you would, the lines are open. Call 0817-93-0002, 0817-93-0003, or 0817-93-0007. WhatsApp on 0809-030-6416. We're live on facebook.com/Nigeria Info PH. Also live on Twitter at Nigeria Info PH as well. Let's get your comments, contributions, questions, inquiries, if you will, in the time that we've got left before wrapping up this conversation. Once again, call 0817-93-0002 or 0003 or 0007. Let's see, where do I start from? So someone's asking here via WhatsApp. Okay, we'll get back to that shortly. I think I have a caller right now. Amadi, I think, is on the line from... okay. Rumo Masi, I think. Amadi, hello, you're welcome. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, Dio. Good evening, Honorable Commissioner.
Go ahead, please.
Good evening. Okay, my question... good evening. My question is this, sir. Beyond the use of the beaver's machine, what happens... You know, we should be more important... We should be more particular about what happens at the polling units. Because, like you did say... Visually, the fight and quarrel begins at the collision centers. And like Dio rightly said, that politicians would want to devise the means to break some of these processes are put together. Now, what happens in a situation where, in a given polling unit, a particular political party has seen that the other political party is winning already during the session, and as a result, try to mobilize people or try to bring in talks to, you know, disrupt the entire process there. What happens to that particular polling unit? That's one. I do not know what the response would be, ordinarily, because I would follow with another question.
Amadi, let's just take that one question.
If your response is to be said that particular polling unit is cancelled, what can INEC do to ensure that these votes will go directly to the database or go online directly without using ballot papers? So at the moment somebody votes, immediately it gets to the data bank and it records for the political party for which they have voted. I don't know if you get me right, sir.
Amadi, so we got your question. Amadi got your question. Commissioner, did you get his question?
Okay, so the
just a moment, please. Before you respond to Amadi's question, let's take a James from Transamanda. James, you're welcome. Go ahead.
Good evening, Dan.
Go ahead, James. Go ahead.
Okay. Mine is actually not a question, but an advice to all of you. He spoke rightly, the commissioner, spoke rightly when he said it is a societal chat, and when you ask.
Hello, James.
Hello?
Go ahead.
He spoke correctly when you asked him the question about how we can curb or how INEC is prepared to curb the spread of money, the humongous amount that is being given out, even from the primary. If they can give that amount during the primary, it means that they can do even much more, like you said. You know, I want to ask him if there is anything INEC is doing as to educate the voters on the need.
James, that's part of what we're doing right now as well. That's why we're having this conversation. That's why we're always having this conversation. That's why INEC is always having conversations in different fora as well. But James, great to hear from you, sir. INEC from OGRA, IQ, welcome. Go ahead.
Thank you,
Daya.
Is there any way the INEC can engage a postmaster for the disbursement of discards to individuals at their arrangement?
Okay, Ike. All right, thank you for that question. So, Commissioner, we'll start from Ike's question and we'll go back to Amadi's question. So, Ike is asking, has INEC considered employing the postal service to deliver PVCs to voters?
Okay, that is a very good suggestion to make. But let us first of all understand the state of our infrastructure in the country. How many locations in the country can you post an ordinary mail to and it will get to the individual that owns it? Now, the voter's card is a very sensitive item in the electoral process. It belongs to the individual personally. You can't even give to the spouse to give to the owner. So if you deploy the use of postal service, there are many places that the postal service doesn't get to. And then to be sure that it will be given to the owner himself or herself. So we have to be careful about that. If our state of infrastructure was more developed than this, then we could have done that. So we don't want a situation where people will accuse either INEC or the postal service or the whoever is delivering that they deliberately did not deliver the card to certain communities because of political interest. They know how the people are going to vote, or they have interest in the election, and you know, all that would be there. So let people come and collect their card by themselves. Somebody talked about violence at a polling unit.
Exactly.
Because the truth of it is that with the way we are going with election, election is being determined at the polling unit. If you lose at the polling unit, and that's the end of it. So you don't have an opportunity to go and influence anything at the collision point. So we recognize the fact that there will be more tension at the polling unit for people to want to win. Now, one of the things that could happen, like the caller said, is that people can mobilize and create violence in the polling unit that they think they are losing or they don't have enough support there. That is where the law enforcement agency is coming. There's much INEC can do is to conduct election. People come, they're given a ballot paper to vote, and we count the ballot and record the vote. The issue of the security is not directly managed by INEC, but we work in liaison with the security agencies. We expect them to bring the best of their abilities to ensure that that does not happen. And also, where there is violence in a polling unit and votes could not be, election could not be done there, if at the end of the voting, it is such that if votes in that polling unit came in, it would affect the outcome, then it would then mean that we will have to go back to that polling unit and conduct the election there. But in some instances where maybe the polling unit has 50 votes, for instance, and at the end of the day, the total votes got in the rest of the polling unit is such that even if you added these 50 votes one way or another, it will not affect the outcome, then there would be no need to go back there to conduct election. Somebody talked about voter education. That is like dialogue. You said this is that's what we are doing here. But importantly, I think people need to recognize that their responsibility for voter education is a responsibility that is shared, should be shared by different segments of the society. I also want to hear religious leaders and community leaders talk about this issue. What are they preaching or what are they saying to their adherents or members of their communities about vote buying? People need to talk about this. Social groups need to talk about it. The media needs to talk about it. Okay? So everybody needs to talk about it. Even the political parties themselves, they also need to talk about it, because if they don't talk about it, it means that the other political party that may have more resources than them could defeat them in the vote buying thing. So what I see happen a lot of times now is that you go for an election and the political parties that are involved in the process are involved in different levels of vote buying. So at the end of it, one outbuys the other one, and the one that loses complains that the only reason the other one won was because they spent money buying voters, not admitting that they also were also involved in the vote buying, but unfortunately they were outbought. So if everybody, including the political parties, agree that elections should be done without vote buying, then the true wishes of the voters will come up, because they will now vote for people based on what they think of the people's, the person's, the candidate's capacity.
Commissioner?
Rather than what the people are giving them.
We have to wrap this up in a moment, but very critical question, very quickly, please, your response. Just to be clear, INEC will be transmitting results of elections electronically from the polling units?
Yes, the results from the polling units would be cast up with the beavers, and once that result is admitted at the ward collation level as the authentic result, then it's uploaded to the portal.
All right, I think that's a good enough place to wrap up the conversation. Many thanks for listening, being a part of it thus far. And once again, vote sensibly, vote wisely, register, get your PVC. Don't collect rice, don't collect oil, don't collect 5,000 naira, don't collect Ankara or t-shirts or face caps. It's not going to provide the things you need from government. Rather, do everything INEC says to do. Don't register more than once. Obey the procedures, obey the rules and regulations, and we'll all be well. Thanks to my guest, Oboye Fanga, is INEC's resident electoral commissioner here in River State. Commissioner, thanks for your time. Wish you and your team the very best.
Thank you very much, Dio.